Court Substance Abuse Program. Like all our talk programs, we encourage you to call in to 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. This is a brand new program that we hope you'll definitely enjoy. And now, Radio Rehab with Lisa Sipes.
Good morning, Tri-State. Welcome back to Radio Rehab. Glad to be with you again this Saturday morning. Please feel free to call. Ask us any questions. Nothing's below the belt. We're here to share our experience, strength, and hope with you about recovery and substance abuse issues, whether it's prevention, intervention, treatment, whatever it is. This morning's guest is a guy that I've known that's come around for several years. And, you know, you just meet people along the road that you like what they have to say. It's real. It's from the heart. He's tough about his sobriety, and he is definite about his sobriety. So I want to introduce you to Joe from Gary, Indiana. Came here to Evansville to get clean and sober, and has been clean and sober and remarkable in his recovery. So I want to turn it over to him to share his story with you. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming on. This is kind of strange, isn't it, talking in a microphone on a radio?
Sort of.
Definitely.
Sort of.
Well, thanks for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here. And it's always an honor when someone asks me to come and share something about me, because I'm just used to people telling me to leave. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, glad you're here. So tell us a little about you. You're from Gary, Indiana.
I'm from Gary, Indiana, born and raised there. I'm the youngest son of six children. I moved here to Evansville in April of 2003. I wanted a better way of life. We had declining industries in Gary, jobs hard to find, crime rate very high, addiction rate very high. I wanted something different because I have children. I wanted to raise them in a better environment. So here we are.
How did you hear about Evansville, Indiana?
Well, you know, a lot of times God have a plan for you. Your help comes from some of the most unlikely sources.
Definitely.
So, whether or not, I heard it through the mother of my children. And she told me about it. I've never been to Evansville before, knew no one here, and I knew it existed in southern Indiana.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I came here on a Greyhound bus, and I went to a treatment center called Stepping Stone, and they helped me get my new start in life.
So you came here with the intention of going into a treatment program?
Most definitely.
So what happened that made you want to go into a treatment program?
I was, I guess, a success at being a failure. You know,
that's a cool way to put it. Things, who would ever thought we'd be successful at failing? Yeah.
Things weren't going well in my life, and I was yet to do anything about it. But I knew that I was the source of my miseries, and I knew that I had to do something, because you know, life is so short and precious that I wanted to live rather than die.
And you knew that you needed the help.
Definitely. I needed much help. And still today, I need help, you know, because this is an ongoing thing. It's not an event that just takes place. It's a process that I have to go through the rest of my life.
So you're never cured? There's never a point that you can say, I know I'm okay now for the rest of my life?
Well, I don't put limitations on what God can do, but as just for today, I'll keep working to try to make more progress.
Wow, that's a great attitude. So in Gary, Indiana, did you go to high school? Did you start drinking, drugging in high school, college? Kind of how did all that get started for you, a nice guy? How's that begin for somebody?
Maybe I'm a nice guy now, but some people don't remember me that way. I had a nickname that I really didn't like. It was called Dirty Red, and I think I lived up to that.
Dirty Red?
Dirty Red. And I didn't like it, but I guess other people thought it fitted me.
Was that like a gangster name or something?
Well, I guess you may.
A dealer's name?
I guess you could say that.
My goodness. So how's a nice guy that's raised in a working class family end up on that side of the street?
One to belong. One to hang out with the people in the neighborhood. I guess one to be tough, one to stand out and trying to build up some type of reputation for yourself. I was born and raised, you know, in the church, and my parents took me there and whatnot. But sometimes as you get a certain age, teenage years, A lot of times you feel that you know what you're doing. Your parents are old and they don't know what they're talking about. But it's kind of strange today that a lot of things my parents told me, I'm telling my children the same thing now. So I guess they did know what they were talking about.
So do you think just by personality or temperament you were rebellious?
When I got a certain age, my teenage years, about my junior year in high school, I kind of got rebellious because my dad gave me a lot of freedom. On weekends, he would let me, you know, use his car, and I would go to the various football, basketball games and things like that. So some things went kind of easy, but all at the same time, it's sort of like leading a double life. The life I lived at home, the life that I lived in the streets were totally different.
So you started out, you were talking to me ahead of the show, with marijuana and alcohol. That was kind of the teenage thing, the high school thing.
Yes.
Were you planning at that point to just stay with that, pot and alcohol, or did you kind of know this could end up being a disaster?
I didn't know it could be a disaster, but basically I really didn't have any plans.
Yeah.
I was just living off the fat of the land, basically, thinking that my smarts and my street sense would get me by.
Jeez, so was pot and alcohol immediately important in your menu of activities as
Yes, it was, I guess you could say my best friend, my best friends.
So you think young people that do start smoking pot and drinking immediately have a relationship with the substance?
Sure, sure. Because a lot of times, you know, it wasn't the case with me. Sometimes some children, they don't have relationships at home or any other place, so they have to find some means to escape from, you know, what they may be going through.
Kind of numb out.
Mm-hmm.
So did you stay pretty functional? Because you were saying you went to some college and it all looked good on the outside for a while?
Yes. I believe that this is, you know, knowing it's a progressive disease and it just takes a toll on you. You know, it's just like you never know when it happens.
Yeah.
But you look at the results later and you know that it did happen. But you never know when you cross lines or anything like that. But you do.
Yeah. When did you cross the line?
I believe I crossed the line in the early 90s when I was introduced
to... Still in your 20s? Late 20s?
I was in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. Or about 30 years old, and I believe I crossed it then. And when you cross that line, you know, there's no going back.
So you think there's just a point when it stops being a recreational partying thing into a life of its own?
A must.
A must.
Mm-hmm. It's, you get to the point where it was with me, it's not like I gotta have it. No, I'm gonna have it.
Wow.
And you do that by whatever means you have to. You know, to be candid and frank with you, you generally hurt and you take from the ones that are closest to you, the ones that God put here for you to love. Mm-hmm. You take from them because I believe that we essentially, as alcoholics, addicts, or whatever you might want to label or call yourself, we're basically mask-wearing cowards. And we puff our chests up to try to make people think we're all that. But basically what we're scared most of is for somebody else to know we're scared. Mm-hmm. So we take from the ones that are closest to us because we figure they won't harm us.
Wow. I think that's probably very true, the ones you don't want to hurt at all. Did that start mainly when you got into the crack and cocaine or even before? That was your turning point?
Yes.
It
was the crack and cocaine.
Do you think, looking back and just talking to others that might be listening, that the marijuana and alcohol prepares you to go into harder drugs? Would you have gotten into the crack cocaine if you hadn't have been a heavy drinking and drug?
I don't think I would have if I hadn't been using it because it's strange how I was introduced to it. I used to play basketball a lot, and we would drink after playing, and we would, you know, get intoxicated, and an older guy introduced me to the cocaine, and it seemed to take that drunk off of me. And I thought I had found something, but it was one of the worst things I ever did. And it was
right
real,
off the bat, Joe?
Right off the bat. It was like it wasn't a waiting period or anything like that. You immediately a member. Immediately.
And if you hadn't have been drinking a lot and smoking pot, you probably would have never been around
Been introduced
the coke.
To it, correct.
Because, you know, you hear a lot of parents or people say, well, all college kids are drinking or smoking pot. I hear that a lot. Well, that's just part of the culture. I think what they don't realize, though, is that mindset can go into other things for certain people.
Mm-hmm. It's basically, you know, a generalization. And, you know, being around people, sometimes you can go into an atmosphere, and if you stay there long enough, it becomes a climate. Mm-hmm. And
no,
if you stay
true.
There long enough, it becomes a stronghold. And when mm-hmm. it's a stronghold, you go to those areas not even wanting to go, but it becomes a part of you that says, I got to go. And that's how this addiction has you doing things you don't want to do them, but you have no resistance against it.
Wow.
Unless you decide to turn it over to a power greater than yourself, and that's the one that I call God. And without God, we probably wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think when people are using, or when it goes from a recreational thing into an addictive pattern, that they lose sight of that power and that source?
Definitely. You become that power, and then the drug becomes that power.
So that's what you're worshiping, the drug.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that happening when you're in it?
No.
You don't see it happening?
No. You don't see anything but where the next one is going to come from.
So did anybody try to talk to you in any of that? Turn you around?
I believe at the time when I'm using, my mind is so closed, whether they tried to talk to me or not, I wasn't available to hear them. I had no ears for hearing.
Mm. The addiction was just right there in the center of your life.
The middle of it, all of it. You know, you have relationships with alcohol and drugs. You can imagine that, a relationship with a bottle. You know, and it basically comes to that it comes first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you basically tell yourself, I'll rob for you, and I'll steal for you, I'll do whatever you want me to do just to get you.
That powerful.
Yes.
Well, That's incredible. You guys in the community, any of you that want to call, I talked to Joe ahead of time and heard a little of his story, and he's willing to answer any questions any of you have, so feel free to call in. We're going to take a few-minute break, and we'll be back to talk more to Joe about his recovery and what he's doing today to keep his head together. He definitely was on an addictive, destructive path, and gratefully now has turned it around, so we want to hear how he's done that, but feel free to call. We'll be back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Jillian Miller, poet, laments her sinus pressure and congestion.
This stuffiness comes and stays. Weekdays, workdays, sinus pressure haze. Gone is my patience for completing a sentence or listening to friends. To them I make amends.
Everything seems harder when your sinuses are blocked. New Sudafed PE Day and Night Dual Pack gives you maximum strength relief of sinus pressure and congestion, day and night.
Oh, this grief has found Sudafed PE relief.
Sudafed PE Day and Night. Unblock your head. Use only as directed.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-550-2238. Call 1-800-550-2238 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-550-2238.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back. I'm having an incredible conversation with Joe, who's moved here from Gary, Indiana, to get clean and sober. And we're just talking about addiction and being a man, being a father, and being in recovery. So luckily, he got into recovery and grabbed it like no tomorrow, like a life raft in a drowning sea, and now is in recovery and sharing that very openly with us. So Joe, how did you get into recovery and stay in recovery, and what kind of mindset? Oh, we've got a caller. Just a minute. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Michael Vaughn, and I have a question.
Glad to answer it for you, Michael. Thanks for calling.
My question is, once you realize you have a problem, what would be a good first step to take in trying to turn your life around?
Very good question. We were just talking about that at break, Michael. Yeah, how do you know? Will the Joes of the world and the Michaels of the world be listening to this show? And Joe, what can they do to turn it around?
First of all, I'd like to say, how you doing, my brother?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I would say, first of all, if you know that you have a problem, you want to have a solution to that problem. There are treatment centers in this area. There are places where you can go to meetings that discuss addictions and recovery. But most importantly, it would be to try to find someone who's walked that path that you've walked, because they can understand where you are, and they can show you how to get to where you need to be.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate that.
Thank you.
Joe, where could people go to find people? Where could a Mike go to find people like you that are trying to do the deal?
Okay. Let's say I attend regular Alcoholics Anonymous meetings.
And the 12-step programs.
12-step programs. There are phone numbers in the telephone book.
Under Alcoholics Anonymous.
There's a treatment center called Stepping Stone.
Deaconess Cross Point, Warm. Yeah, lots of treatment programs, thank goodness.
And they offer inpatient programs where you stay there for a while, and they also offer outpatient where you may would go on a daily basis for maybe a couple of hours.
Sounds like it takes a real commitment.
It definitely does, because, you know, a lot of times people still have life to live, you know, and a lot of times.
Do we have another question? Hello, do we have another caller?
Yes. Once you realize, this question is for Joe, once you realize that you started your recovery process, how did your family become to accept you? Did things change with your family?
Good question. How did the family handle the broken promises a zillion times, and then now here you are doing the deal? How did the great question. Thank you, Joe.
Well, I just try hard. A lot of times things, people don't see you in the same way, because some things that were acceptable in your life, they're not acceptable anymore. And a family has to be able to bear with you first, because I believe that a man has to try to get himself together first, and he may put his family through some difficult times, but it's a process as well, and you just have to bear with them and let them try to get better. But sometimes that person in recovery would try to force that recovery on his entire family, and they may not be ready for that. So it's a process, and you just have to give it time, and neither party has to give up. You know, you just have to stick through it and work with it, and trust that God will make the results work out fine.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller. Yeah, your family has been through hell and back with you, too, in the addiction. And the big book, I think, says you have to allow your family to be skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Was your family skeptical?
Well, some of them probably are still skeptical.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you're going through that active addiction, you basically can't be trusted with anything. Nothing.
So why, when people get sober, do they say, why don't you trust me, to their family? It's like they want that trust back immediately.
Yes. I believe that in life, it's sort of like what they call a merit system, and at that time, you haven't built up any points yet.
That's a good great way for a basketball player to put it. That's right. So, you haven't scored enough yet.
You haven't did anything yet. You know, you just basically just have your uniform on. You haven't, you know, you haven't played the game yet. You know, so it's about getting out there and actually doing things and not letting it all be lip service. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, as I said earlier, we talk about recovery. The problem lies between our ears, but a lot of times it's right up under your nose, you know, the
yes.
lip service.
The talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, you said that the 12-step meetings and church are your way of life today.
Yes.
And those work for you together.
Yes.
The church and the 12 steps. Could you do one without the other? Probably you couldn't.
I wouldn't like to.
Right.
Because I think once something is set in place that works, why try to deviate from it?
Yeah. And it's working for you.
Definitely.
So what do you say to people that are struggling in an addiction? What do you think is, what was the mindset that got you to go to treatment, stay in treatment, make the commitment to go on for a halfway house and continue taking care of this thing every day? What kind of mindset do people need to be in?
I have to first admit that there's something wrong, and
that's
I have to have some type of hope that I can get better. Because in order for me to have some faith in something, I got to have some hope that it can get better.
What if you're broke and so down and out with legal problems and financial problems and family problems? Can you still have hope even with all that?
You can have hope, you know, because I believe any time a person wants to get up and walk, you can walk whenever you want to walk. It's if you want to get up.
Do you think it matters what color we are or what gender we are or what age we are?
No, you can be green and you can still recover in life. Because it's just a matter of trusting in something other than yourself and getting yourself off your mind, because we have to stop only believing what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes our thinking is our greatest enemy, because a lot of times foolishness can come dressed up as common sense in your head.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
So, you know, anytime you want to walk, you can walk. Anytime you want to have peace, you can have peace.
Well, it seems like you have an open-mindedness about you that has allowed all these voices in to help you turn it around. Do you think you had mentioned something about the how
mm-hmm.
for your recovery, if you'd explain that?
Well, anytime you're trying to build something, you want to have a solid foundation for it to stand on. And I believe if you're going to have any success in life and have a meaningful life, that foundation has to be built on spiritual principles. And what I mean by spiritual principles are values that aren't in conflict wherever you take them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in this program, the 12-step program, you have to build it on the how of the program, the honesty, the open-mindedness, and the willingness. And you have to be honest, and you have to get away from the justifying, the rationalizing, the minimizing, claiming it's not that bad, I didn't do that much, mm-hmm. the excuse-making. And then I have to be open-minded to listen to someone else besides myself, because remember, all of my great thinking is what got me in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be willing to get out of the chair and start reminiscing and thinking about how it could be and how I wish it would be, and start letting it be that way through the power of God working in my life by me surrendering to my problems and then asking God to help me and then surrendering to the solution that he presents in front of me.
It sounds like you definitely have a good plan, and that how, honesty, openness, willingness, that's the key,
that's the foundation.
Key.
That's the foundation. If you have those things, you can place other things on top of it. There are other spiritual principles as well as, you know, love, gratitude, faith, hope, you know, things of that nature, because we have to, in order to live in this society and to live a prosperous and a happy life, we have to get ourselves off our minds all the time, and we have to start thinking of others, because one of the basic concepts in the 12-step program is to trust God, clean house, and help others.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. We have to think about other people sometimes.
That's right.
Not thinking less of yourself, but not thinking about yourself so
less.
Much.
Yeah, think of yourself less. Not.
There are other people here, and you know, I really enjoy the meetings and the process that I'm going through. It's life changing. A 12-step program. I've seen the dead raised.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you've just been an incredible guest, and I'd like to have you back. There's so much richness that I hear from folks that are recovering. And Joe, I really appreciate you coming, and thanks for sharing the principles of the how, honesty, openness, willingness. You came with that, ready to do that right off the bat, didn't you?
I may have had some of it, but as time goes by, you start to understand things on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
A lot of the things that I believed in before, God adds more onto that so that I can really be enriched with it. You know, you sort of get a spiritual enrichment, mm-hmm. you know, through this program and through my church. I have to say I'm real grateful to my pastor, Reverend Adrian Brooks. He's done a lot for me. I love his sense of humor, and that was the first thing I liked about him. I found a place where I was comfortable in AA, and I found a place I was comfortable in Memorial Baptist Church. And you know,
that's a great team for you.
It's all about stepping out on faith, and that's what I'm trying to do today, just have a faith walk and knowing that I'm not perfect. I'm going to fall short, but I know I don't have to go through everything by myself anymore.
That's right. Oh, man, that's awesome. We're not alone.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for coming. Please come back. Radio Rehab, this has been an incredible half hour, as they all are. I learned so much. I hope you do, too. If you want to catch up with Joe, you can find him at Memorial Baptist Church. You can find him at the 12-step meetings. You can call us here at Radio Rehab, and we'll hook you up to him as well. Thank you for tuning in today. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week. Thanks, Joe. Will you come back?
Definitely. It's the pleasure's all mine.
Oh, ours, too. Thank you. And you all listening, don't forget, between now and the next time we talk to you, do the next right thing.
The Pump, 1400 AM, WEOA, Evansville, Henderson.